Will you please pray with me? O Lord, open our eyes to behold your presence. O Lord, open our ears to hear your voice. O Lord, open our hearts to receive your love. Amen. Now, for anybody who has not made it out to the farm, I have one thing to say to you. Go! What I love about going to the farm is not just the meal, but it's being able to hear a different voice every week give us the message from a different perspective. And then it's the music. It's different every week. It's a different style, and sometimes even different musicians. So it's never the same old thing. Now, this past Wednesday, we heard African music, and your fingers kind of wanted to snap, your toes wanted to tap, and some of us wanted to get up and dance. And then there was this message about joyous celebrations. And our own Charlie Brown gave it to us, that message. He talked about finding joy in those common, everyday, messy moments in our lives, and not just celebrating for holidays or birthdays or weddings. And he asked me a very good question in that sermon that I've been thinking about. Why not celebrate in worship every week? Now, today, we have kind of a double celebration going, right? Beckett is being baptized, so we celebrate with him and his parents and the family. For Beckett, he's beginning his journey into faith. But today, we also celebrate my brief time here at Redeemer, where our faith journeys have intersected each other for just a brief period of time. Your job is to continue to hear God's call to you, into your faith, into your community, hear what God is asking you to do. Steve and I, on the other hand, our journey is taking us to First Lutheran in Plains, Montana, and Our Savior's in Thompson Falls. So we're responding to that call there. But there's also a call in our reading today. Paul is calling to the people of Corinth to respond in a way that is totally countercultural for them. Now, if you remember a while ago, I compared Corinth to Las Vegas or a big resort town. Most of the citizens there had lots of money. They were extremely well off. And those well-off people were used to being the patrons for the less fortunate. But patronage for the ancient times was so different than what we think of. They just didn't do it out of the goodness of our heart. Here, have a little money or have a little help. No, in some ways it was their banking system, but they called it friendship. Keep in mind, no credit cards, no bank loans the way that we know them. So if I needed help or you needed help, we would go to our friend and ask for some type of assistance. And generally, this would involve some type of either transfer of funds or goods or services or something. But now, me as the recipient of that transaction, I'm placed in a position, I'm placed in an inferior role in my society, and I'm obligated to whoever gave me that item. Now, Paul in this letter, he's really concerned about this relationship of dependency and reciprocity. Remember, when Paul went there the first time, he did not accept their patronage. Instead, he worked and earned his own money by being a tent maker. And perhaps this is part of the problem that he's had with these people all along. He wanted to be on equal footing with them. No, instead he's calling for an equality among the whole church from every age and every nation. And he has a pet mission in mind. He is concerned about the widows and orphans in Jerusalem. And Paul is calling to these people in Corinth to live into their baptism and share the good news that they found and heard. And as I was reading, I was like, so why bring up the Macedonians? Isn't that just going to stick kind of a knife in somebody's side? But as I read it over and over, I realized Paul didn't say that they gave more money. He's talking about grace. He says, "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of the God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia, for during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." This whole passage is about grace. The collection Paul is talking about is not merely fundraising, but it's about an act of grace. Think of all the gifts we've received from God. It stems from one solitary act. I read a little Martin Luther this week, because as I read this passage from Paul, I kept thinking, God, he sounds so much like Paul, doesn't he? And I'm like, of course he does. Martin Luther based his theology on Paul. And he talks about something he calls the happy exchange that happens with Christ. Luther wrote, "This is what mystery, which is rich in divine grace to sinners, wherein by a wonderful exchange, our sins are no longer ours, but Christ's. And the righteousness of Christ, not Christ's, but it's ours. He has emptied himself of his righteousness that he may clothe us with it and fill us with it. And he has taken our evils upon himself that he might deliver us from them." As I was reading this week, I didn't know where to go with any of that. And I came upon a Facebook post by my friend Sandy, and Sandy is a cashier at Cub. This is what happened this week. A customer in my line had one item plus a Cub gift card that he wanted $20 to add it to it. Once he left, he said, "Please give this to the elderly lady behind me." As Sandy began to ring up that person's items, she said, "You have been given a gift of $20. That woman and Sandy were both overwhelmed. She only had about $13 of charges, but they shared what had just happened with the next lady, and the next customer got that $7. This is living into a theme of God's grace, which freely is given to us. And she passed it on to others. And after I read about this post, I started to think about Charlie's homily on Wednesday some more, and about joyous celebrating and giving and how that all comes together. And I thought of a trip that Steve and I had to Africa. See, when we were there in their worship services, it was filled with this music of joy that we had felt that day on Wednesday. They seemed to share a sense of belonging to God and to each other. Together, we experienced this gift of love from God, which was paradoxically makes you both rich and poor all at the same time. Two gifts were exchanged that day between us, one of joy and one of time. Now, time is a very valuable commodity to these people there, but it has such a different concept than what we have. Their worship service lasts several hours, 3, 4, 5. And I started thinking, how would we feel? Don't we get a little anxious? Don't we get a little like, hurry this up when the end of the hour has hit? And we're like, come on, gotta go, gotta go. We went 5 minutes over in worship today. Now, they didn't feel rushed. They didn't rush from one activity to the next because they gave each other the gift of presence. Now, bear in mind, too, some of these parishioners walked 3, 4, or 5 miles to get there. And when I think about it now, it seems like we kept singing and singing and singing until they realized everybody was there. Their service was extremely traditional to the nth degree, except for offering. It was the one time it was different. Every man, woman, and child in that place got up and came forward. Some of them had cash. Some of them had baskets they made, or bananas, or chickens. Live chickens in worship was interesting. Eggs. After worship, they proceed out to the courtyard, and they would actually auction off all of these items. And the money collected went both for their church and their community, which was wonderful. But yet, there were some people who were so poor, they couldn't even afford to bring an egg. They still came forward. When they reached the offering basket, they took their fist and placed it inside, and then they spread it open wide as if to give their life to God. It was such a holy moment. It showed God was calling into their lives, but it was showing what they were willing to give God. They were willing to give their entire being. When I was in internship, it was important to the ministry team to support local businesses, to keep things going in the community. So I learned to shop locally and buy locally and dine locally. And even now, when I have the opportunity, I have two items, one's fair trade and one's not, I always buy the fair trade, even if it's a buck more, because I know more money is going to that farmer or to that craftsman. In some ways, it's my way of working into that happy exchange that Luther spoke about. My time at Redeemer is almost over. And here I've witnessed so many different happy exchanges, from greetings to the work that you do. I want to thank you for the welcome that you have given to Steve and to I, to welcome into your lives, because we have laughed and prayed, we've learned together, and along the way, we've seen God's love in Christ for each other, the church, and the world. One final story for you. Again, I go back to my internship. At the end of an event, when somebody was going away, these communities had a traditional hymn that they would sing. They sang it at partings, at funerals. Somebody's going on a long trip. If they weren't sure that they were going to see you anytime soon, they would sing it. My wish for you is that in the coming weeks, as you struggle with faith, because we all do, that you find the joy in faith. Did you find the joy in each other and of giving? Recall the promises found in your baptism and find comfort in these words as you're transformed by faith. And if you know this hymn, you are welcome to sing with me. And Tim, you are not expected to play. As you go on your way, may Christ be with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, within you to give.